Well, Father, I truly do thank you tonight. We give you all praise, honor, and glory. You know everything that's going on in the world. You know what's going to happen as it's happening, and you know what, how it's going to end up in the world and even in our own families, in the churches. So, Father God, we're just going to stand on your promises, which are yes and amen. And we're just going to go forth being obedient to you, being the strong towers that you prepared us to be. And Father, I just thank you and I just praise you and I give you all honor and all glory for being here tonight, ministering to your people and doing what you know needs to be done in each of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You know, I read something about Vice President Pence, and he said it is time. He's starting to speak out, and he said it's time that we stand up for our rights. It's time that we quit allowing the enemy to keep pushing us down and destroying America. And, you know, that's been my word every day. It is, why don't we stand up and do something about this? And I really do believe that God has raised up Vice President Pence to be a voice for us, because what he said today was really good, and it was all true. And God told me a while back when all this junk was going on to watch Vice President Pence, because he was his man and he was going to use him mightily. So Vice President Pence, right, is up. He's up and running. So we God has sent somebody to speak for us, and now we just have to be in agreement, and we just have to cover him now with the blood of Jesus, you know, so that he can do the things that God's telling him to do. God told me a while back, remember Roger Stone, how the FBI just ran up in his house in the middle of the night and did everything he was going, you know, they did to him. I don't know. I told Brother Chris, I think 4 months ago, God said to me, the Roger Stone event is going to start happening again. So they run up in two people's houses, haven't they? Was it just two? The lawyer and then this other couple. And the FBI just came in the middle of the night, you know, just ran up in there and did their thing. And but God said it was going to happen again. So we need to be praying against that. You know, that innocent people aren't destroyed and they're still fighting against Roger Stone, and he really hasn't done anything wrong. So, church, we still have works to do. We still have to pray that God's will is done in every area of the government, and that God does it quickly. I don't know about you, but he's not doing it quickly enough for me. I mean, I just sit and watch what's happening, and I just sit and shake my head. And President Trump has a new hat out. It says, it's not my fault. I voted for Trump. So anyhow. Tonight, I'm going to talk about this. Brian Simmons from Wichita, Kansas, wrote this article, but it's all stuff God has said to us. And Brother Aaron said I had to hurry up and get a message together because it wasn't in the Dropbox. And I've been praying and praying, God, what do you want me to give for Wednesday night? So let's just go through this, okay? The season of God's mighty power has arrived. We know that. A new day has dawned. We know that. And with it emerges a new breed of believers. Do you know that? Come on. And with it emerges a new breed of believers. That's you and you guys. You know, you're just a different breed. All right, you really are. The torch of truth will be carried in the hands of this generation. God has told us that. I don't know if you quite understand the fullness of what God has called each one of you in to do. I really don't. Because God is going to, you know, you're just going to be so busy for God, you're not going to know what to do with yourself. But the importance of what God is going to have you do is a thing you need to look at. You're going to be doing things that nobody else has ever done. you're going to have to go on these new paths just by faith, trusting God that he knows what's going on, and to give us strength and wisdom to go ahead and do the things he's calling us for to do. All right, mighty ones are rising with grace in their hearts. I'm not on now, right? All right, mighty ones are rising with grace in their hearts to do his bidding. Are you a mighty one? I'm what you wrote. This is about you guys, okay? And are you going to do his bidding? Filled with humility in their lifestyle and truth burning in their bones. This is the Joshua generation. Really, it is. The church needs the message of the book of Joshua more than ever before. It is a now word for the church. We're living in a day when many of God's people are walking in defeat and discouragement. Thank you. Whoever said amen, thank you. But God's destiny for each and every one of us is that we shine bright as the day spring of the dawn. Now, this is Song of Solomon. But God's destiny for each and every one of us is that we shine bright as the day spring of the dawn, fair as a shining moon, bright and brilliant as the sun in all of its strength, astonishing to behold as a majestic army waving banners of victory. That's what we're supposed to look like. Song of Songs, chapter 6, verse 10. Is that what we look like? By faith, he says, sure. No, we do look like that, whether you know it or not. You guys do. I just said it anymore at home, and I'm amazed as I watch what each one of you have grown. It seems like overnight, you know, the things that God has spoken over your life is being fulfilled. And I want you all to know that you have grown and that you are ready to do the great and mighty works that God's called you forth to do. And I'm excited. I'm really excited. So I want you to get excited. Today is a day to come out of hiding. He's prepared a crown of victory and a crown of rejoicing for us. Right? All right, we're going to Joshua from a slave to a leader. Excuse me. In the beginning of the book of Joshua, Moses, the hero and great leader, had died. And now the biggest challenge for Joshua had come. It was time for him to arise. It was time for Joshua to rise and take his place. Joshua couldn't live on the revelation Moses had received. Listen to this. Joshua couldn't live on the revelation Moses had received. He needed his own fresh revelation. Are you listening, guys? You need your own fresh revelation. Moses' revelation was yesterday's revelation. God's plan for Joshua was to enter the land with the express purpose of conquering it. Are you going into your calling right now with a mindset, I'm a conqueror, and the devil can't stop me no matter what he does, right? Sure, that's right. Joshua had no thought of surrender. Joshua had no thought of surrender. He believed that he would conquer and take full possession. Isn't that right, Barbara? You watch Barbara, she believes that no matter what's going on, she's the conqueror and she's going to let you know it. Amen. Come on. The book of Joshua begins as Joshua is called into leadership. Whenever God brings a new beginning, he raises up new leadership to initiate it. We're in a new era, we're in a new beginning, and new leadership has to be brought forth. Do you understand now why you're here? You're the new leaders that God is going to use in this dispensation of time. When we want to accomplish something, we begin by, you know, in our own lives, we begin by making our plans and strategies. We often look for a new method, a new novel, clever way of doing it. Whether we're starting a new resolution for our personal lives, a new law in Congress, or a new project in our jobs, we tinker with everything to try to make it better than before. But when God has something new and powerful that he wants done, he always raises up people, a new breed of people. And if you really stop and, you know, I really stop and I look at each one of your backgrounds and you are all a different, unique breed of people. You are not the run-of-the-mill Christians. You really are not. Think about your life. You should get excited about it. You're peculiar. You're unique. You stand out. And that's why God called you. Think of it. Joshua was mentored by Moses, one of the greatest leaders ever to live. What an honor. Joshua had been Moses' personal assistant. What an opportunity. Day in and day out, Joshua walked alongside a devoted leader who heard from God. And as Joshua remained faithful to Moses and to God, he was promoted and made ready for the transfer of leadership. Think about this. I'm not dying, guys. You're not getting my leadership. You're going to get your own. All right. Just think about that. And God told me, he said, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. So I know that God, you know, whatever God did for Moses, he's doing for me. But I also know that you guys were called to be leaders and to bring this new, work in this new era and bring the second coming of Jesus forth. Right? All right. God chose Joshua to bring the Israelites into the promised land, not Moses. I haven't messed up yet, guys. So, all right. God chose Joshua to bring the Israelites into the promised land. God has chosen each one of you to be leaders, to bring this harvest in and teach them of God's ways. Are you understanding this? This is what you're called to do. One person can't do it all, and you've been called to do that. And as God did for Joshua, God has a special calling for each of us. No two people have the same calling, so it's imperative that you hear God's roadmap for you personally and then commit faithfully to it. Are you listening? Hear what God wants to do for you and through you, and then be faithful to God in it. Leaders are flexible. I'm still working on Aaron. He's not too flexible. He's, Joshua started out as a slave in Egypt and ended up bringing God's champions into their inheritance. Let's read that again. Leaders are flexible. Joshua started out as a slave in Egypt and ended up bringing God's champions into their inheritance. Joshua is a story of moving from a slave to a world changer. Think about it. You were all a slave to sin, were you not? And then God brought you into the lighthouse, beat you up a little bit, put you through the furnace of affliction, took you to the woodshed, more times than you care to think about it. Now he's made you a world changer. You were a slave to sin, but no longer. Now you're a world changer. Are you understanding this? Come on. Joshua began life as a slave with all the deep struggles that come with slavery. He knew what it meant to be rejected and to feel inferior in culture and society. He had been marred and hurt by his situation, but God used his experiences as a slave to make him the mighty man of God that he became. I don't care what you're going through in life. God is using every bit of that to bring you the mighty man or woman of God that he wants you to be. Even the most tragic circumstances we walk through will be used by God for good. And that's in Romans 8:28. Even the most tragic circumstances we walk through will be used by God for good. The enemy may have meant Joshua's slavery for evil, but God used it in Joshua to bring him into his promised inheritance and to bring glory and honor to God. Joshua the soldier. The next season of Joshua's life was learning warfare and becoming a soldier. Isn't that what you learn whenever you come out of the captivity of sin? God taught us how to be warriors, right? He had learned how to endure hardships and how to take orders in Egypt. He knew how to respond to his masters as a slave. You all did that with the devil. You just did anything he told you to do, right? You learned quickly how to respond to him. Now Joshua was free, but he still had Moses and God the Father to respond to, and he was faithful. As the people of God began their journey through the wilderness, they had their first encounter with the people called the Amalekites, and you find that in Exodus chapter 17. Real leaders won't allow an attack to stop them. Hello? real leaders won't allow an attack. You might just stand there and stomp your feet, but you're going to keep moving forward, right? I can guarantee you a lot of us had attacks today. But we had to keep moving forward. We can't allow the enemy to stop us. Moses put Joshua in charge, for he knew that Joshua wasn't one who would back down. Moses put Joshua in charge. Moses did, not God, in charge, because Moses knew that Joshua would not back down. Joshua was no longer a slave, and that was his day to arise. His struggle with the past was over, and he would no longer be oppressed. Hear that. You're no longer, your struggle with your sin nature is over, and you're no longer going to be oppressed by that. Joshua was no longer a victim, and he had a holy dissatisfaction, a revolutionary spirit rising up within him. He was mad at the devil. He was going to kill him at every turn. All right. Great men and women of God are never quitters. You hear me? Great men and women of God are never quitters. They don't turn back. They'll stand up and say, even if everyone else quits, I'll press on. How many times have I told you, I'll go on without you. If you don't want to get it together, I don't need you. I'll go on without you. We have to understand it's God who is with us. A person is, you know, will leave you, but God will not leave you. And you cannot rely on a person to get you to your destination that God has taken you to. I've lost my place. All right, I refuse to give up and let the enemy take over. And in the same way, it's time for you to rise too. So in Exodus 17:13 says, so Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with a sword. You need to take up the sword of the Lord, and you need to go forth and destroy the enemy. Now, Joshua, the submitted servant. Joshua was also a submitted servant. He gave his life, his purpose, his destiny, and his future into the hands of leaders. That could be a hard test for many. The woundedness of our lives, a lack of fathering, or the lack of good role models in the church in generations gone by, can become excuses to keep us from submitting our lives to others. And haven't we been reading about that? That's why a lot of people are quitting the church. Poor excuse. It's not going to stand before God. All right, these things can all seem like pleasant, convenient excuses to keep us from giving ourselves to others and living a submitted lifestyle of royalty, purity, and holiness. They seem like it, but that is not true. There are always lots of excuses we can use, but until we can learn to submit to another man in his vision, it will be hard for us to receive God's blessing. For no matter who's over us, God is the ultimate authority, and he's the one that places others in places of authority over us. See that? Fortunately, Joshua had a great leader named Moses. Let's look at Joshua the seeker. All right, so in other words, Barbara, with your women's aglow, if the people working with you don't have your vision, they don't belong with you. They aren't in there to seek, you know, recognition. They're there to help your vision come to fruition. See how that works? Too many people, when they get into leadership with the pastor or whatever, they want to be the pastor. Instead of them following orders, they give you orders and tell you what to do. Not pleasing to God. If you do that to me, it's not pleasing to me either. I'm thinking, who died and put you in charge? I do. I think that way when all of a sudden you start telling me what to do. If you want a church and you pay the price and you go ahead and get your own church. But don't come into this church and try to tell me how to run it, because I follow what the Holy Spirit says to do. Right? And don't, and you're aglow. Don't let somebody come into your aglow and start telling you how to run your aglow, you know, your section of it. God placed you there and you're following God, right? I know you are. Because see, when you're a leader, And you're going to have your own ministry. And whatever you do to the one you were under is going to be done to you too. So be careful what you do. All right, let's talk about Joshua the seeker. Exodus 33, verse 7 through 11. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp, and whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance to their tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp. At his young age, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. He always lingered behind because he wanted to stay in the presence of God. See that? Scripture says the Lord would speak to Moses face to face. That's pretty intimate. That's up close and personal. Some of you, God has said to you, I'm going to speak to you face to face. And I don't know how you accepted that, but I would be excited if God told me that. Are you listening? Because, you know, God speaks to me face to face. He doesn't speak to me in parables. He speaks to me just like I'm speaking to you. And I count that a great honor. That he doesn't speak to me in parables, but just speaks right on out, like he did Moses. How close do you want to be with God? Neither Moses nor Joshua had any trouble with God the Father being close and in their faces. They loved the presence of God. Then they wanted God to be up close and personal. And they loved the presence of God. Do you want God to be up close and personal? You know? You have to ask yourself that. Do I really want that? If I really want that, then I got to get my act together. Right? So it's up to you. How personal a relationship do you want with God? Oh, did y'all hear that May the 21st, there's no more masks, no more nothing. Everything is wide open. They've proven that that this mask thing is destroying our kids. But and I said, thank you, God, for telling me never to wear the mask and not to close the church, because God knew exactly what he was doing, right? So anyhow, May the 21st, it's open. Everything's open. All right, when Joshua went into the tent, he did not want to leave. When Moses came out and left, Joshua remained. That is something extra special about the Joshua generation. They go in, but they do not go out. In other words, you stay in the presence of the Father. You're more content being in the presence of the Father than any place else. And yet, we can be in the presence of the Father while we're working. You know, anything you're doing, you can still be in the presence of the Father. Why? Because you're continually talking to him and wanting him to be with you, and you're continually listening to him because there's always something he wants to tell you. Amen. Now, little Aaron here, he's got that pretty down pretty pat. We're sitting in the office talking about a situation, and he shuts his eyes and he says, well, while we're talking, I hear, I see. I said, okay, Aaron, you're getting it. That has rubbed off onto him. He's learned to stay in the presence of God as he's having a conversation. And this is what we all have to do. We all have to, as we're talking, be in the presence of God, constantly listening for what God has to say. There's many times, you know, I want so bad for God to be talking while I'm, you know, talking to somebody and he doesn't do it. And I can't say nothing, because if God's not saying it, I can't say it, because it wouldn't be right. There's times in your life where God just doesn't want you to hear at that given time about anybody. So don't think you've lost it if that happens. I got to hear. Yeah, you do, but no, you don't. You know what I'm saying? No, you don't. It might be something that's none of your business. Okay, then. So I said to Joshua, generation, they go in, but they don't go out of the presence of God. They just stay right there saying, I just want to worship. I just want to stay right here with you, God. I just want to be in this place, glowing, glistening, and burning in your presence. I want to radiate with your glory. Joshua did not leave the tent. There's something about this generation. They will not leave when the Lord shows up. They're just going to want to stay right in church. Like you, a lot of times you guys, you know, they have to do some sort of videotaping, and you guys just linger. Just linger. Just having a good time. Fellowshipping in the presence of God. And Brett saying, go home so I can do this because I need to get my dinner. Well, Brett just might have to learn to linger and fast that meal. See what I'm saying? We cannot chase him out of the presence of the Lord, Brett. I said, tell him to go out in the into the hallway. Don't tell him to go anywhere. Just let him linger. Amen. But just be considered that it might be you needing to get videotaped and you want to go home too. There's going to be times, guys, when you're going to be so caught up in God that you're going to be there for hours upon hours. Remember the story about the pastor's wife? She was a pastor. No, pastor's mother. She was a pastor, but her mother would always, every morning, go down to the kitchen with her little cup of tea and, you know, read her Bible and fellowship with God. And one day they went to go down the steps, could not go down the steps because God had come into the kitchen 3 days. Nobody could go into the kitchen because the glory of God was there with the mother. They could see the mother sitting there with her tea and her Bible. But the glory of God was so strong in that kitchen, nobody could go into it. Wouldn't that be awesome? You'd lose your job, but wouldn't that be awesome? To have the glory of God drop in on you and just stay there 3-4 days, day and night. I think it would be awesome. All right, let's talk about Joshua the spy. Not only was Joshua a slave, and then a soldier, and then a servant, and a seeker, he was also a spy. Another term for this would be forerunner. All right. Joshua went ahead to discover what God was doing. Isn't that what we're doing? He's called us forerunner church. When we first started, you're going to know what's going on before it goes on. All right, Joshua went ahead to discover what God was doing. There was something prophetic about him. General Joshua was a leader that was a prophet, a prophetic forerunner. He had to see what was out there. I think he got this from Moses, who had to go to the far reaches of the desert to see the burning bush. It was that encounter, hearing God speak out of the bush, that launched his ministry. You don't know what's going to launch your ministry. Amen. You all are prophetic forerunners. I think the most of you in here have the prophetic gifting. You are prophetic forerunners, and God has been speaking into your lives for quite a few years now, getting you ready for this moment in time in church history. We are right there. We're right there where God is going to use us to bring in the harvest. And by the way, this revival is all about souls. It's not about seeing blind eyes pop open and things like that. It's all about souls. And as we go out there with that in our mindset that we're going out there, the signs, wonders, and miracles are seeing people saved, other miracles will occur. But when you go out there and all you want to do is see miracles occur, like, you know, eyes popped open or whatever, it's not the right reason. The right reason is to save a soul. All right? Joshua, in turn, we talked about Moses. His ministry started with a burning bush. Joshua, in turn, was a spy who went deep into enemy territory and returned to Moses with a God-focused report. Joshua was a man of faith, courage, and strength. You know, Joshua came back and said, we can do it. We can take this land. Do you believe that? Are you a spy? Are you a forerunner? Do you believe you can go forth and conquer now on all sides and bring in this great harvest that's out there just perishing because nobody will move? See, you have to have that in your spirit that I am a forerunner and I am sent forth to bring in these lost and dying souls. Don't allow the things that's going on in your household to hinder you and keep you stagnant where you don't move forward with God. Make sure before you go to bed, if you have to pray all night, make sure you have that thing under the blood and it's in God's hands so you can hear God's voice and do the things he's calling you forth to do. The Lord has raised up a remnant company of believers in this new era who know their God and will do great exploits. And you'll see that in Daniel 11:32. Do you know God? Do you really know God? This is a question you have to ask yourself. Do you really know him, and are you ready to do the great exploits that he wants you to do? You know, unless if you don't know your God, then you're not going to do anything for God. If you're not settled in your spirit that God has a great and a powerful works for you to do, then you're never going to do a great and a powerful works. God's been prophesying to people for years now. This is what God is going to do for you. He's been telling them over and over and over again, and they still haven't grabbed hold of what he wants them to do. You're not going to do great exploits for God because your mind is not set on God and the things of God. Don't you say that about me. I just did. Come on. If you really knew what God would have you, was wanting you to do and what he's calling you to do, you'd be out there working at getting it done. You know what I mean? Is you'd be seeking God's face daily. God, what is it you want me to do today? Is the day you want me to turn the corner? What is it, God, that you want me? I do that constantly. I know what he's called me to do. I want to get it done. How about you? Don't you want to get it done, Chris? We want to get done what God is calling us to do. The season of God's mighty power has already arrived. We know that because God moves in here every service. A new day has dawned, and we know that. And with it emerges a new breed of believers. And I know that. I know you guys have made the course. I know that you're ready to go ahead and go forth and do the things God's calling you forth to do. I know that. I 2 months ago, I wouldn't have known that. But it just seems like God just overnight just dropped in you people in your lives. I watched your lives just seem to change overnight. You have more faith, and you're bolder than what you were even a week ago. And this is God moving upon you. He already has you ready to go forth and do the mighty works he's calling you to do. The enemy's going to come. I'm hearing God say the enemy's going to come and try to keep you in that slave mentality. Don't allow him to put you back in your slave mentality. You are free. And you're ready to do the mighty works that God's calling you forth to do. Now go forth and do them. Amen. Do you feel the call to grow from your past into leadership? To rise and face challenges courageously and to serve those God has placed in leadership above you? Read that again. Do you feel the call to grow from your past into relationship leadership? To rise and face challenges courageously and to serve those God has placed in leadership above you. You know, if you really look at my walk with God, there's no reason this earth why I should even have this church open. We all know that we've had one roadblock after another thrown our way. We know the pastors in this area have talked about me and said, we need to close the church. We're not a God. We don't follow God, blah, 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 blah. But God said, no man can close these church doors. We come every service. I don't care if it's just four of us show up. We come every service and we serve God, give him all that we have. And God has been watching our faithfulness and our steadfastness, and he's ready to use us. I'm not bragging. That's just reality. God has been watching and he's ready to use us. People have come and people have gone. When they come, they say, poof, and then they go. Well, poof on you too. We stayed the course. And God is going to use each one of you mightily, and don't ever let anybody tell you he's not. And next question, are you eager to seek a passionate relationship with God and to be a forerunner and encounter the Father? Are you ready to enlist in this emerging Joshua generation? You already have. You've already done that. But there's a new height of his glory that he wants to take you to tonight. There's a new depth in him that you have not yet reached. And, you know, I say, God, you just say this. You know, okay, I want more of your heart. There's so many chambers in your heart that you have not given to me yet. You know, the body of Christ. And so instead of us saying, well, we just did that. No, you didn't. He's moved on to a deeper level. And so tonight, even though you've given your heart over to God, you said, yes, I'm going to be a forerunner. You've been saying that for years. You've gone through the furnace of affliction. There's a deeper depth now that God needs to take you into tonight so that when you go forth, you'll be able to conquer the enemy on all sides. And everything that God has called you for to do is going to be instantly manifested. Are you ready for that? If you are, the altar's open. I'm going to tell you guys, do not think lowly.